Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Tonight, we're edging our way closer to the end. We will take a little bit of time with the last couple of chapters, but tonight we're in chapter 26. And if you remember, we're going through the book of Proverbs, and we're just looking at each proverb and seeing how they go together. Chapter 26 has a number of groupings of proverbs. If your Bible has paragraphs, you'll notice, for example, verse 3 all the way through verse 12 are all one section. Maybe your Bible does not have paragraphs. What you might notice is if your Bible doesn't have paragraphs, it'll probably have an extra space between, say, verse 12 and 13 or verse 16 and 17. That shows the end of a paragraph to make it easier for us to find individual verses. But those verses go together. At least the original author intended them to be together. And it should give us a little bit better idea of the sections here in this chapter. So as we go through Proverbs and we see what's going on, let's look at some of the wisdom that he has. He comes back with a familiar saying in the first one. Here in verse 1, he says, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. And that's very true. One of the things that I think happens so many times is that we unwittingly give fools honor. We give fools honor. Now, I was always raised by my parents to not care about to really second guess the position of authority if they don't have a condition of authority, which means if the teacher is acting like an imbecile, I don't have to treat them with as much respect as if they weren't. I was always taught to treat my teachers with respect, but if the teacher is teaching lies, then I was okay. It was okay for me to tell them so. My dad never wanted me to believe the lies that the teachers were teaching, and that caused a lot of issues because when I would tell the teachers that, they would say 65 million years ago, liar! And that kind of didn't go well. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the definition of a fool, just so we remember, is we have a lot of modern words that fit this description, idiot, dummy, moron. But it's the idea of a debased person, somebody who doesn't think. It is the idea of somebody who has really taken rationality out of the equation. It's not logical to not believe in God. And so they have said in their heart, there is no God, because they don't want to recognize the consequences of sin. Now, let me just ask you a question. How many of you think it's foolish to take away all of the rules? Right? That's a foolish idea, isn't it? To say, there's no more rules. Well, modern people say relativism. Oh, what's true to you is not true to me, which means there are no set of rules that we all have to follow, which means there are no rules. Now, how many of you think that's foolish? Well, I can poke you in the eye with a stick because that's not against my rules. That doesn't make any sense. It's foolish to say that everything is relative. It's also foolish to say there is no truth. It's foolish to say that there is no absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. You see, you notice the world is attacking truth because today they want to rule out Christ. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Evolutionists say that you don't need God for creation when we have evolution. They miss the point. You still need God for creation. Even, let's pretend fairy tale land for a minute, that evolution was true. Pretend evolution is true. What caused evolution? Something that had no beginning had to start everything that is. Doesn't matter how far back in time you go. It doesn't matter how far back before the creation of the world you go. When asked this very question, Stephen Hawking said, well, I'm of the opinion that nothing exploded and created everything. Now, how many of you think it's foolish to say that if you have nothing and nothing explodes, that you'll have everything? How many of you think that's a solid logic right there? No, it's foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And honor is not fitting for a fool. It's not right to give a fool honor. And yet, for some reason, our world gives fools honor. They honor Stephen Hawking, who rejects God. They honor Neil deGrasse Tyson, who also rejects God. They honor the Kardashians and all of these other celebrities who are only famous because they are famous. The world honors even people. it doesn't really matter to me if you're a Republican or a Democrat, but when they gave the President of the United States the Nobel Peace Prize, or they gave Al Gore one of the Nobel Prize, I was thinking to myself, that is giving a fool honor. Because in reality, what they were given prizes for, they didn't deserve. They hadn't done any. I don't care if you agreed with Barack Obama or Al Gore or any of those. It doesn't matter. What bothered me about the whole situation was that they weren't the pioneers in their field advancing those fields. They had not really. It was a political thing that they did to try to bring political awareness to one specific thing. It had nothing to do with what they were being awarded for. But you see, it's not fitting to give honor to a fool. It's not right. Maybe you've been into a job and they've given the fool the promotion. Because it used to be, and it sometimes still is in corporate America, that you promote the foolish so that they can do less damage in the company. It's a very well-known fact that middle management became such a big problem in the 80s and 90s, if you remember. Why? Because they needed to get the fools away from the real work, so let's promote them so that they're out of the way. Because it was cheaper to do that than to fire them or deal with them. And it was a really ridiculous thing. So sometimes fools would get the promotion. They get the better job, the better pay. And there you are doing all of the work and getting none of the recognition. How many of you think that's fair? He said, it's not fitting to give honor to a fool. Now, there are other instances. I was thinking about this last week. There are other instances where people give honor to a fool. Have you ever met a young lady who's madly in love with a man and she honors him even though he's an idiot? Any parents out here with daughters? Okay, so you've probably been through this, right? It's like, honey, what are you doing? Oh, I love him. Why? Why? What do you see in this person? What good is he? Is he smart? No. Does he have a job? No. But he has a really nice tattoo. Or he's got a guitar. Or he writes poetry. Okay. And you're, as a parent, thinking, what's the matter with you? This guy has no direction. He has no future. And he better not touch you ever, because I will murder him. That's what's going through your mind. Honor is not befitting a fool. Sometimes, though, it's not just your daughter or maybe your son falling in love with someone like Samson, honoring Delilah for no reason. Remember Samson, who honored a fool? Delilah was foolish, and she did what she could to destroy Samson. And he was foolish for giving her that honor in his life, for giving her that much respect and that much time and that much intimacy. And sometimes we draw close and we give a position of honor to certain people. My BFF, my best friend, you say. And if it's a foolish person, it's not right. Putting someone in a position of counseling you and someone that you will now trust and listen to, that's not right. You shouldn't be putting them in a position of honor when they are foolish. Even in the church or in companies, sometimes fools are appointed to the position of deacon or pastor or elder, or they're given some title in the church because, as foolish as they are, they do give some money to the church. So we might as well give them a position so they don't leave. I'm not joking. Some churches do that. For me, it's really hard to get a position or a title here. And ask Pastor Tim. He was ordained a little while ago, and it took him 5 years. 5 years after we started talking about ordination before it ever happened. Why? Because the Bible says don't lay hands on someone hastily. Why? Lest you participate in their sin. And yet I've been in some churches where even they've asked me, hey, we want to make you an elder in our church or a deacon. No. Why not? You don't know me. And I don't know you. And it's not right. And as much as, well, we're trying to give you this honor. Yeah, but you don't know if I'm a fool or not. How should you give me this honor? So be careful who you honor. Be careful who you idolize. Be careful who you allow your children to honor. You know, one of the things that's coming up is Easter. And I want to encourage you, Easter should be a time when we honor Christ. It's not a bunny day. And by the way, anything coming out of the backside of a bunny, you should not be eating. It's not candy. Just a little reality check for you there, okay? Don't eat anything that comes out of a bunny. Out of any end of a bunny. Okay? And there are people who focus on the Easter egg hunts, and they focus on the family get-togethers and all these other things. But you know what Easter is all about? Celebrating the resurrection of Christ. That's what it's all about. And that's what it should be about. But who do people honor? A fool. A bunny. Or at Christmas, who do they honor? Some fat guy in a red suit. Now, in my office, it may offend you, but in my office, up on the shelf, if you walk into my office, you will see that there's the Easter bunny and there is Santa Claus crucified on a cross. It's in my office here. Why? It's a reminder. They didn't die for your sins. They didn't give themselves for you. And who do we honor at Easter? We honor Christ. So let me ask you, who gets the number one honor in your life? It's not right to give that honor even to a person, but it has to be given to Christ. And I want to challenge you to honor Christ only. Then he goes on in verse 2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow. So you imagine as a bird flapping its wings, flying around. So a curse without cause shall not alight. And have you ever noticed the sparrows and swallows, they don't fly very far, very fast. They don't go very far. A curse without cause shall not alight. When we think about this, this is not talking about the occult. Oh, I'm going to put an... I heard just this week that there's a bunch of people trying to put a curse on the president. And I thought, you know what? It was probably not good of me to think this, but you know what I thought? Bring it. That's exactly what I thought. We've been praying for this country for way too long. Bring it. Let's go. I don't need a curse. What do I need? Prayer. The fervent and effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's what the Bible says. So you know what? Bring your curses and bring your seances and bring your ridiculousness. And I got Jesus. And let's go. Let's bring it. And I challenge you to pray for our country, pray for our president. But you know, there are people out there who curse others. They curse others for all kinds of reasons and for no good reason. And I want to encourage you not to do that. Don't curse people. You know how the Bible says that as a Christian you should curse people? The Bible does give you the recipe for cursing others. Pastor, I've never read that part. Where is it? The Bible says, do good to those who do evil to you. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who persecute you. And by doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon their head. So if you really want to curse someone, bless them, do good for them, help them, love them. That's how Christians curse others. Did you know that? Pastor, you were hoping for something else, weren't you? You were ready to write that verse down, weren't you? Oh, you were. Shame on you. You really want to hurt somebody? You really want to mess somebody up? You know, just tonight I was going through some of the pictures. We are moving church storage, and I got the goods on some of y'all. And I got a picture of Mark back when he was a teenager. I got a picture of me back when I was a teenager. That didn't come out. And you know what's really funny? When you think about cursing others and you think about hurting others, I saw this picture of this guy named Travis. He was my sister's boyfriend. My dad evangelized him, and my dad shared the gospel with him. He got saved. My sister dumped him like a bad habit. She'd left the house, moved out, went back into the world. That guy went to the mission field. He still goes to church to this day, still serving Jesus. My sister, she lost out. What was the best way my dad could get back at my sister and tear? He killed the man. He killed him because he died to his old person and he was born again in Christ. And in that moment, you know, it's our job to kill people, to kill the old man, spiritually speaking. And to raise them up again in Christ. If you really want to curse someone, if you really want to change your boss, you really want to change your spouse, you really want to save the world, you really want to protect the world from these evil people, then share the gospel with them. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who persecute you. And by doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon their heads. Verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, there are still some countries that will whip your back if you steal or get caught with certain things. There was in the news a number of years ago, an American tourist who was in a Southeast Asian country, and They did, I forget what they did. I think it was in Thailand. I forget what they did, but they got in trouble. And so they got like 15 lashes across the back. And the United States was so up in arms about this. This is not fair. Poor kid is being beaten with a stick. I was like, go for it. My dad never spared this stick with me. We found that stick the other day moving. The Board of Correction. My name's still scribed in the back. It says victim's sign here, and there's my name. Leon Scott. We saw in another verse, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. We live in a culture today which minimizes discipline, and it minimizes correction. And don't spank them, give them a trophy. I don't know what for yet, but give them a trophy. It's much better. And you got a trophy for showing up to school, and you got a trophy for learning your name. And we have an entire generation who doesn't know how to read, and they don't have social skills, and they have trophies. I have a neighbor who he opens his garage every day. The walls are lined with trophies. I have no idea what they're for, but I imagine one says, I learned my name. One says, learn how to tie my shoes. I have no idea what they're for. I just think it's funny. They're probably from high school. He's 50. Got all these trophies, and he shows them off to the world. Opens his garage door all day so everybody can see him. I don't care. I'm not impressed. You walk into people's offices, and they have their certificates on the wall. It's not wrong to have your certificates, but I mean, some people, they got like 50 certificates, you know, and then you start reading them, and this one says that they went to a 10-minute conference on hand washing, and my boss in hospice, he has on his wall a certificate for hand washing protocol. It took him 5 minutes on the internet to get, but man, it's on the wall. I'm like, seriously? Hand hygiene protocol? You really have a... We all had to take this hand hygiene thing. We all did it. Just none of us except for him printed it out. You know, today we've minimized this idea of discipline, hard work, perseverance, diligence. We've awarded everyone a reward and we've given them absolutely no responsibility. And it's a problem, isn't it? You know, driving is a privilege, not a right. Isn't it? Voting should be a privilege. Not everybody has the right to vote. Not everyone should have the right to vote. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you're a convicted felon and you're a mass murderer, no, I don't think you should be able to vote. I don't think that you should have control over this country anymore. You are a detriment to it. I think it's fair, isn't it? And so he says here that people understand that when you have an animal, how many of you have ever seen shock collars for dogs, right? Some people say they're humane, some people say that they're not, but it's generally understood that you can use a collar or a leash on a dog. You can use something to control an animal. And with a horse, if you're training a horse, you'll use on a donkey, you'll put a bridle on the donkey to control the animal. You will use some type of apparatus because if you just let them go wild, what will happen? Someone will get hurt, right? And yet we let the kids go wild and run wild, and then we don't realize that when fools are allowed to just do whatever they want to do, and when they're set free in society to do what they will, like when you release all of these prisoners from prison and just say, okay, well, you know, I guess all right, we can't afford to keep you in prison anymore. Go ahead, go out and do whatever you want to do. And we don't understand that that's going to cause a huge problem in our society. We don't understand that this is not good. He says in verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Now, what this is talking about, how many of you have ever had a foolish person say something to you and you said something back and you get into a heated argument with the fool? You ever been in a heated argument with a foolish person? Let me just tell you, it never ends well. You can't win an argument with someone who has no understanding. You can't win an argument with the fool. I learned this after I had children. I don't argue with my 2-year-old or my 3-year-old. They have good reasons on why they believe what they believe. They're just not good enough. And I refuse to argue with my children. This is the way it is. This is reality. I know you don't understand it yet. Even Paul in the Word, you know what he said? He says, this is the truth, and I'm sure God can reveal even this to you. He's like, I'm not going to argue with you guys anymore. This is what it is. You keep going, and I'm sure God will reveal it one day to you when you grow up. And it's time that sometimes we grow up and stop arguing with the fool. When he says here in verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Don't join in with him. Don't take part in his ridiculous conversations and in his ridiculous arguments. Stop. Because even a fool is counted wise when he closes his lips. But then he says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, there, it would seem like he's being contradictive, but he's not. The first one is saying, don't be like him by answering him in kind, meaning by taking part in an argument, or if somebody steals from you, you don't steal from them back. You don't go up and if someone slaps you, you don't slap them back. If somebody goes over and starts saying something ridiculous and yelling and screaming in public, have you ever seen this happen where you have a couple in the Walmart park? I don't know why it's always Walmart, but in Walmart parking lot, you know, you got a husband and wife screaming at each other. I've seen people throwing or like rolling shopping carts at each other and standing behind their car so they can't get out. And I mean, it gets ridiculous, doesn't it? Now, if you're at Walmart and your significant other wants to leave and doesn't want to talk to you anymore, just let them go. Deal with it later. Don't duke it out in the middle of the Walmart parking lot. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. However, if you have a thief, take everything he has away. Answer a fool according to his folly means that verse 5 is no longer talking about how you are going to be like him, but lest he be wise in his own eyes. So if someone likes to put other people down and likes to talk down to other people, then someone in authority needs to come up and say, you're wrong, and you are being very pathetic and blah, blah, blah. And you can talk to them about their issue, and you tell them it, and it's got to be public. If someone sins in public and repents in public, then the public should be made known about their repentance. If someone sins in private, repents in private, then hey, you might not ever hear about it, will you? But sometimes people, they sin publicly, and then you answer them publicly. And I know a lot of pastors who have tried to, someone in public goes out and sins. Someone in public starts talking about others or gossiping or doing other things, and so they try to keep it quiet, go in the back room and not let anybody know what's going on. But you know what? He says, answer them according to their folly. If someone stood up right now and tried to tell me, Pastor, I don't like you, you're ugly, well, join the club. We'll get you a membership card in a little bit. But if someone stood up and tried to start talking to me about the gospel, the ushers would grab them. But at the same time, I would, in public, tell you why they were wrong. I wouldn't just let it go. I don't want that to happen. So he says, don't let them think that they are wise in their own eyes. Don't allow them to get away with things. Don't allow fools to get away with things, because if you do, they will think that they're wise. And this goes back to what? Correction. It's still the same paragraph here. Correct a fool. And it needs to be in kind with the level of their foolishness, which means how much do your kids get spanked, and how often do they get spanked, and up until what age should they be spanked is completely dependent on their level of foolishness. It's completely dependent on their level of not being able to control themselves. Verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. It's kind of harsh. Cutting off your own feet. Can you imagine putting your feet into a little guillotine thing or whatever? I don't imagine you could do them one at a time. It'd be, you get through the first one and never do the second. I'm guessing you'd have to do them both at the same time. But could you imagine cutting off your own 2 feet, and then drink violence? I mean, we were talking the other day about people who eat glass. Have you seen this? People will actually take a glass cup and they will bite pieces off and they will chew it up in their mouth and swallow it. That's what I imagine when I think of drinking violence. It's, why would you do that to yourself? You hear about people who swallow swords and they, what's the matter with you? There's something really wrong with you if you're willing to eat glass or swallow a sword or whatever else. You hear about these people who die from internal injuries when they It was an accident. It wasn't an accident. He was stupid. He put a sword down his throat and he died. There's no accident there. That was on purpose. Drinking violence and cutting off your own feet sounds pretty harsh, but don't tell your kids if they're foolish to go tell mom something or tell dad something or relay a message something. Or if you have a coworker who never gets anything done, don't ask him to tell your boss something for you. How is that going to end? Badly. It doesn't work. He says, don't trust fools. Don't put your trust in them. Don't trust them to do anything good because they have always shown themselves to be foolish. He says in verse 7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So when a fool speaks something, even though the proverb is good, the fool can't apply it well. And it's just, you know what? You might as well not be talking at all. It is a useless limb. You ever seen someone with a useless limb? It just kind of hangs there. They can't do anything with it. They might pick up their arm and put it somewhere, but they can't use it at all. So it's not saying that the proverb is bad, but the fool is impotent to use it in any good way. He goes on to say in verse 8, like one who binds a stone into a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Now, I want you to picture this. Remember David and Goliath? Okay, in this story, and it's a historical fact that David picks up a bunch of stones. He picked up five, one for Goliath and then one for each of his brothers. Now, you take the rock and you have this little piece of leather pouch and then it's on a string, right? And so you just place, you're holding the strings and it's kind of a big U and you place a rock there and you start spinning it around and then when you let it go, what happens to the rock? It flies, right? And it sunk into Goliath's forehead, knocked him out, and David cut off his head. Pretty cool story. Now, what if David sits down for a minute and ties the rock onto the sling? That's what it's talking about, binding the rock. So what if you were to take glue and glue it in? Now you're going to go, and you're swinging this thing around your head, and you slap yourself upside the head with your own rock. Why? Like binding. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. You're just going to hurt yourself. What are you doing? What are you thinking? That's not a good idea. You don't give honor to a fool. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So a drunkard is hurting himself when he speaks in Proverbs. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Now, wait a minute. What is he talking about? I thought this was a negative thing. I thought we were fool bashing. But he says, even though they're foolish, they still need jobs. And there are some people out there who, oh, they're just an idiot. I'm not going to pay them as much. You know, it's really sad. They said in a report this week that 38% of our population is poised to lose their jobs to robots. Auto factories and other places are losing their jobs to what? 3D printers and robots and all kinds of stuff. You know that SpaceX prints the Falcon 9 rockets from a 3D printer? Those are the rockets that are taking stuff to the International Space Station by Elon Musk. They are 3D printing those engines. Did you know that? They wouldn't be able to make some of the complex engines that they're making with all the passageways and everything unless they 3D printed it. But one day, there will come a time when you won't even be laying brick anymore because there's going to be a robot that will lay brick for us. And that's a problem. Why? I have said this before. We need low-level jobs for fools. Not everyone can be a rocket scientist. Not everyone can be a surgeon. How many of you want a guy named Bubba with three teeth missing out of the front of his face? I can do that. And to give you surgery. You're going to pass. You're going to say no thanks. That's not proper. That's not right. No thank you. And I think what happens is sometimes we think that everybody should get a college degree. And not everyone is foolish, but not everyone is going to do not everyone should be president. Right? Not everyone should be a school teacher. Not everybody should be a principal. You have to have a lot of patience for that kind of stuff. Not everybody should be a kindergarten teacher. Not everybody should be, and you have to have jobs all over. And I think sometimes we think we'll just take those jobs away. No, you got to have jobs for everybody. Now, not everybody who does that is a fool. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you have to have diversity in payment according to skill. You have to. Otherwise, society won't work. You'll have a lot of people who have nothing to do. What if the United States had no low-level paying jobs? What would the college students do or the high school students do? Back when I was a kid, you got a permit from the school office and you got a job. We get a permit, we go out and we get a job at McDonald's or we get a job at a fast food place or we get a job somewhere. I had three jobs in high school. Why? Because I wanted to work and I enjoyed having money and we were making like, I think a whole $3 an hour. It was awesome. So there's one way to look at this where you're saying, listen, we have to pay people and give people jobs. And the other way to look at this is saying, don't take advantage of foolish people just because they don't know any better. If they're doing the job, give them jobs. Help them not to live a foolish lifestyle by giving them gainful employment. And don't rip people off just because you think you're smarter than them. Just because they're foolish doesn't give you the right to hurt them. Otherwise, that makes you what? Foolish too. It makes you foolish. And it says here in verse 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. My wife tells the story of a guy named Jeremy on a pogo stick. She was babysitting this young man named Jeremy in, I think it was San Dimas, and they lived up on top of a big hill, and he had a pogo stick. And he gets on the pogo stick, bounces two or three times, and slides all the way down the driveway. Cuts himself up, bruises himself. He's just laying there crying. They go and they pick him up, and they take away the pogo stick. 10 minutes later, there he is out in the front yard with, guess what? A pogo stick. Couple jumps on the sidewalk, and all the way down the hill yet again. Hurts himself pretty bad. He's laying there for like 10 minutes. They go and they get him, and they bring him in the house, and they said, Jeremy, stop it. He's like 10, 12 years old. It's not a little kid. Yet again, a few minutes later, where's Jeremy? He's out in the driveway on the pogo stick. And before they could get to him, bounce, bounce, slide all the way down to the curb. They finally took the pogo stick away and hid it in the garage. And they told him to go to his room. And a little while later, guess where Jeremy was? In the driveway. Again, at the top of the hill, on a pogo stick. Don't be Jeremy. Get off your pogo stick. And yet, how many of us do the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results this time? Oh, it's going to be different this time. I have a family member who married the same guy twice. Oh, it'll be different this time. It wasn't. I've found people, I have always made this rule. I don't go back to a job if I quit. Never go back. There was a reason you quit in the first place and nothing's changed. If you go back, what's going to happen? Same things that you had before. Now we could say pastor, come on. I'm not going to get on a pogo stick and go jumping around by the driveway, but maybe your pogo stick is drugs or alcoholism or bigotry, or maybe your pogo stick is anger and bitterness. Maybe your pogo stick is it could be anything, couldn't it? Bad friends. Maybe your foolishness is something else, but whatever it is, it's foolish, isn't it? And yet you're drawn to it. Maybe there's something that you're just drawn to. Maybe it's lust or pornography or I don't know what, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. And whatever it is, you're drawn to it. And like a dog who goes back and eats his vomit, which is something gross to you, it should be like, ah. Yet that's what we are, as we go back to our sin and we go back to it and we go back to it and we participate in it again and we do it again. We know it's nasty. We know it's harmful. We know this is not right, but yet there we are again, lapping it up. And I want to encourage you to put sin far from you. And don't be a fool who returns to it. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Verse 12, there is more hope for a fool than for him. Now this is, I think, what will determine whether or not you're a fool. You want the foolishness test? Here it is. Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to learn? You're never done learning until you graduate from the school of foolishness. Then you're done learning. When you become a fool, you stop learning. Why? Because when you stop learning, you can no longer improve. You can no longer listen to the you're telling the Holy Spirit, I don't want to hear you anymore. You're telling God's word that, you know, you can't shine in my life anymore. You're telling the church, no, you can't help lead me anymore. You're just saying, I'm done. I'm good. I'm good just the way I am. And anytime somebody says, hey, pastor, I'm good. I don't need help with that. They failed the fool test. I love playing my guitar, and I love worshiping, and I love doing all kinds of stuff. And you know what? I love it when people say, hey, let me show you a new trick on the guitar. I'm like, yeah, tell me, show me. I want to see this. I want to learn this. Why? Because I want to learn more. I want to gain knowledge and understanding, and I want to try to improve. And every time I study God's word, I learn so much more from it. And every time, you know, Pastor Chuck was so awesome. He would never stop studying God's word. He had taught the word all the way through so many times he lost count, but yet he would still study every single week. And I have to study every single week. Why? Because I'm still learning. And the minute that you say, I don't need to learn anymore, is the minute you graduated from fool school. And he says, he who is wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. So be always learning. Be always at the ready to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listen, and when it comes to your kids, they have a lot to teach you, so listen to them too. He goes on now, that's the end of the foolish section, and then he goes on to the lazy man. So we learned about the fool, how to treat him, and how to. Now, I always thought a lazy man is a fool, but I know some really smart lazy people. How many of you know a smart lazy person? Anybody? Like this? They have so much potential, and yet they don't use it. Lazy man says, there's a lion on the road and a fierce lion in the streets. What does that mean? I can't go to work. Better stay inside. Better not go outside. This could go for anything. It doesn't have to be a lion. How often is there a lion in the streets? You know, a while back, there was a bear on our street. And the cops were, it was over in the city of Laverne, it had gone to Kohl's, went over by McDonald's, went across the street to the Panera, came down the block and over by my house. And so we were there, and the cops, the sheriffs had the helicopters out, and the bear was, he had gone down our street, gotten into the backyard of another person's house, and now they were looking for him. They lost it. They lost the bear. And it was there because of the drought. I think it was about a year ago. It was there because of the drought, and there was no water up in the mountains, so all the animals started coming down. Coyotes, we had a big problem with coyotes and bears and all kinds of stuff. Well, my kids, it was on a Sunday afternoon, I told the kids, there's a bear outside, you can't go outside. We want to see. And half of them wanted to go outside and find the bear and help the cops. Half of them wanted to stay inside and not go outside. When sometimes there's reason to stay inside, you know. Remember smog alerts? We used to get those. You couldn't go outside and play because there was a stage 2 smog alert. Remember those? We don't get those very often anymore, do we? You know, the EPA has killed our cars so we can't have them. But some people, they go out there and they say, it's raining. I'm not going to church. It's cloudy. I don't want to go to work. It's dark. I think I'm going to sit here and watch Netflix and chill. We come up with excuses on why we can't go outside, why we can't do things, why we can't get things accomplished. You know, I heard there's this really awesome, it's not a Christian thing, but it is pretty cool. It's called The Art of Manliness. It's a website, and they have a bunch of YouTube videos called The Art of Manliness. And all you young men, you should watch it. It'll teach you how to tie a tie, how to put on a bow tie. It'll teach you how to shave. It'll teach you how to do certain things like set up a camping tent and, you know, just things that guys don't learn anymore. things that kind of died off with my generation. Not very many people know how to start a fire from scratch. And so I was watching this Art of Manliness thing, and it was talking about how to wake up early. And it was a really good little video on YouTube. But the thing that caught me, that caught my attention was he said, and he had this quote at the very end, never let the sun catch you sleeping. Never let the sun catch you sleeping. Get up before the sun goes up and stay up past sundown. It's only usually about 12 to 14 hours. You're usually awake for more than 12 to 14 hours. But it was just that idea. Get up early, start your day on time. You know, a lot of people, they have a lot of excuses why they can't. Now, I personally am not an early riser, but I really like the idea. And I'm working towards it. I really am. Of getting to the place where I can wake up earlier. There's something about 10 o'clock that, don't get me wrong, I get up before 10. It's just 10 o'clock is when I start waking up, you know, and start to function better. Coffee doesn't help, just in case you were going to give me that suggestion later. So don't be lazy is the idea. Don't come up with excuses. We all have excuses. You know, I see people and they don't want to go to the gym because it's too cold, it's too hot. People pay $40 a month for a gym membership to drive to the gym to run on a treadmill. Why don't you run to the gym, save the $40, and run home? Just run to the gym, run by, wave at all those people running in place, enjoy the morning air, run home, you're good. Take a shower, you're good to go. You don't have to undress in front of people. You know, it doesn't have to be weird anymore. But he's saying don't be lazy. In verse 14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. It just goes back and forth. That's it. Right? Door has a hinge. It opens and it closes, but it never goes anywhere. It stays right there. It's anchored, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it'll go this way. It'll go that way. You even have those doors like at the restaurants. They open both ways, but they don't go anywhere. And I got to tell you, there's something comfortable about a bed when it's really cold and you got a nice down comforter on and you're snuggled up and the alarm goes off and you don't even want to reach your hand outside of the warmness of the blanket to turn off the alarm. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And it's real easy to just turn over and cuddle and be warm. And he says, but you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to accomplish anything. Don't be lazy. The lazy man buries his hand into the bowl, but it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Now, that's a sad state of affairs. I don't have this problem. My hand goes from the bowl to the mouth every time. I got that down pat. You know, I can get that popcorn from the bowl to my mouth. Easy peasy. There's fried chicken in the bowl. It's coming to the mouth. Okay? Oh, what do you have over there? Yes, I want some. My daughter will make brownies. Yes, I want some of those. I can get that food. It doesn't matter how tired I am. It will get. Can you imagine someone so lazy they can't even feed themselves? Eating's too hard. Feed me. Whoa, we got to talk. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Now, this is an interesting thing. How many lazy people say work smarter, not harder, right? And they think that they're more sensible than seven other people. Sometimes I do things that are not necessarily the smarter way. They're the harder way. Like I'll ride my bike sometimes instead of drive my car. It's not the easier way, but guess what? It is the better way for me at the time, isn't it? It's better for our environment. It's better for my ability to eat bacon. I only exercise so I can eat bacon. Okay, that's really the extent of my exercising. But somebody who's lazy, they think, oh, well, hey, I got it all figured out. And they want the easy way out. There are people buying lotto tickets thinking, man, one of these days I'm going to have to win. I got it made. And hey, you guys are all dumb. You're not playing the lotto. I'm going to win it all. Yeah. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Verse 17 starts a new section. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Do you belong in this argument? Stay out of it. I'll never forget. We were at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Pastor Romaine was yelling at somebody. If you ever knew Romaine, his job was to yell at people, I think. Pastor Chuck, when Pastor Romaine died, got up on a Sunday morning service and said, well, if there wasn't order in heaven before, there is now. because he was basically the bulldog. He would put people in line and correct people over at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And so I'll never forget one day I was there. I think it was for a worship leaders conference or pastors conference. And there's Pastor Romaine, and he's got a guy backed up against the post. And he's kind of like that because he was short. And he's yelling at this guy. And one of the other ministry guys runs up, Pastor Romaine. He goes, do you want some of this? Backed away slowly, and then he turned around when he got a little ways away. When he was correcting somebody, you didn't jump in and interrupt. Or guess what? You got some too. And that was the same way my dad was with us. If he was correcting one of the other kids, you didn't jump in there and meddle. Well, it's not fair that you're correct. Oh, really? Come here. Let's show you what fair is. We're going to instruct you in righteousness today. We're going to unbind some of that foolishness. And one of the things, you know, when you see somebody and they're arguing, they're fighting, very rarely will I meddle. Now, there are times when you have to. If you're the parent and it's your kids, guess what? That is your fight. You ever see a man hitting a woman? Get in there and tear him up. All there is to it. You stop him immediately. Then you call the police. If you have a taser, use it. Men, you should not be hitting your wives, ever. For any reason. And if I see a man hitting a woman, I will jump in and I will stop it. That's my fight. That I belong in. If I see someone trying to kidnap a child, that's my fight. I belong in that. If I see someone trying to hurt someone else, that's my fight. I belong there. You understand? There are some times when your fight is not necessarily your business, but because you are present and someone needs your assistance. I've seen some of these videos where a cop is trying to take down a perpetrator, and the guy is trying to grab the cop's gun, and they're wrestling on the ground, and the cop's yelling, help me! Guess what? That's your fight. Get in there and help the police officer. He needs your help. He's probably the guy keeping you safe so that that guy doesn't break into your house next. So go over there and help him. Or call somebody to help him. If you see a child in danger, that's your fight. If you see somebody abusing a child, that's your fight. But when it's not your own and you're just meddling, he uses the word meddle. You have two neighbors arguing about something, don't meddle. You have two ladies arguing about something, don't meddle. Why do you laugh at that one and not neighbors? Because you've done it, haven't you? There's a time to step back and say, no, thank you. Hide. Kids, are your parents arguing? Stay out of it. Don't meddle. It's not your business. See, and so he's saying, be careful. Don't take a dog by the ears. The dog will bite you. You're going to get hurt. Verse 18, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Can you throw death? I mean, think about it. This is like a madman throwing death. I mean, what does that look like? I'm not sure, but it's kind of interesting. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Oh, that irritates me when people do that. April Fool's Day is coming up. The only fool is the one playing on April Fool's Day. The only fool is the one doing all the jokes and playing on April Fool's Day. So April Fool's Day is a day for you to show how foolish you are, not everybody else. Putting saran wrap over the door or all these other things that people do to each other. I've seen people do the mouse traps on people who are asleep. They put a mask on a mannequin and they put it in bed next to their wife so when she wakes up. Remember that quarrel that's not your own? You're about to find out what that's all about. Because the fight's coming to your doorstep. This is not good. And my wife, when we first got married, man, I was this guy. And I would escalate. If she tried to get me back, I would escalate. I have a problem with that. We came to a truce a long time ago. We don't do that anymore. But you don't do that. You don't hurt somebody and you're deceiving your neighbor. Say, oh, I was only joking. You see, he's saying you're using deception. Now, there is a difference between deception and a joke. But at the same time, it's a very fine line. Don't try to find it. If you have to do something on April Fool's Day, do something very clean that doesn't hurt other people and that's not deceiving. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do. Be careful. because if you do that stuff, you're throwing firebrands, arrows, and death. He goes on to verse 20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So who causes strife? Gossips. As charcoal is the burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They go down into the innermost part of the body. Here's the thing. I the other day I was in North Hollywood, and I found this little place called Cafe Taramo. It's a bunch of Armenian ladies who import French pastries. And they're awesome. And they're only about that big. They're really tiny. So I brought a box home. And I asked my family, what do you think? These are amazing. My son ate like eight. I'm like, son, that was like $40 worth of French pastries. Stop it. They were awesome. They're eating all these pastries and they loved them. And it got me thinking, like tasty trifles. Like hors d'oeuvres, like those things that you really like to eat. Whatever your tasty trifles are. You know, I have friends and I go out with them and they have the spicy hot wings. You know, those are pretty good. And eclairs. You like eclairs? Or cream puffs. Those are awesome. You know what I'm talking about? They're about that big around. You can pop in your mouth sliders. It's like tasty. Are you hungry now? Yeah. And if I was walking around with little pieces of just bacon with cheese or whatever, I don't know. You know, just bacon is enough, right? Bacon wrapped sausage. There's another good one, like tasty trifles. You just, as they go down, they feel so good. People love, they're like hors d'oeuvres. People love gossips. People love to hear about everybody else's business. People love to hear about everybody else's going on and what's going on with them, what are they doing, how are they doing it. Oh, did you hear about this? And what's going on with them? And people even ask me, Pastor, why don't you tell me about this? It's none of your business. Go away. Pastor, that's not nice. Go away. I have no problem telling people to go away, by the way. So he says, do you really want to get rid of problems? Now, here, guys normally don't have this problem as much, but he mentions a man here, a contentious man who stirs up strife. But guys, don't hang out with people who are just poking the fire. Maybe you're having a hard time in your marriage. Don't hang out with your in-laws or your family if they're poking the fire. Ladies, if you got somebody in your family that likes to talk trash about your husband, don't hang out with them. Don't listen to them because they're just stirring up, guess what? Strife. And they don't have to go home to the oven. They get to poke the fire over here and then let you burn as you go home. Don't listen to them. Don't hang out with them. Don't be the person who does that. If you have a brother, sister, wife, or child, son, or daughter who's married, don't go talking trash about their spouse. You know what you need to do? Encourage them. Hey, you got married? Guess what? Stay married. That's your mission in life now, is to stay married. Don't go trash talking to their spouse. Don't go talking about what bad choice it was. The choice was made. Can't go back now. You have to reinforce. You're supposed to stay married for the rest of your life. If you don't, you're just creating strife in them. He goes on to say in verse 23, fervent lips with a wicked heart are like an earthenware covered with silver dross. So, you ever see somebody who's really excited about something really dumb? I'm going to put rockets on a shopping cart and fly off the cliff. And they're so excited. Don't be that person to be so excited about something ridiculous. Verse 24, he who hates disguises it with his lips. No one ever says, I hate you. Well, sometimes they do. Most of the time is, oh, you're really nice. Come here, let me give you a hug so I can stab you in the back. That's what people love to do. They like to stab you in the back. They like to hurt you, he says. So be careful. Just because they say that they like you doesn't mean they are. He lays up deceit within himself. And you lie to yourself when you're talking to other people. Well, I guess I can tolerate this person. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. He doesn't say what the seven are. I'm sure we could figure out at least seven, right? Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. It comes out eventually, doesn't it? Someone says, oh, I'm still your friend, I'm still nice, but they're not really. Finally, he says here in verse 27 and 28, whoever digs a pit is going to fall into it. He who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. So when you set a trap, it's I used to have a bear trap. I can't tell you how many times I got that thing caught on my hand. You know what a bear trap is? You squeeze the things down, and it opens up the claws like this, and then you set it. And it was a small one. It was supposed to be for small game like rabbits and stuff. Can't tell you how many times I cut open my hand on that stupid thing because I would be trying to set it and trying to pull up the little lever and get it caught, and all of a sudden, it went, bam, on your hand. You ever set mouse traps? Remember the old school mouse traps with a little metal thing coming around and it hits your, and it breaks your fingers? And we were in Nicaragua. We needed mice traps, and we found these plastic ones. They're amazing. They're like 3 times more expensive, but when you slam it on your fingers, it doesn't break your fingers. You can actually just put your fingers in there, and it's plastic, and it'll close down, but it doesn't break your fingers. That's what we started putting around the house in Nicaragua. They work amazing. They sell them up here. Don't set traps for people. You're just going to hurt yourself. You ever do that, though? I used to do that in the garage. I used to set boxes so if you'd open the garage too quick, then they'd fall on your head. I'd forget about it. And I'd walk into the garage and get bashed in the head with this big box. Don't do that. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. If you're a liar, all you want to do is crush other people. But a flattering mouth works ruins. You are so nice. I'm always really weary. Oh, Pastor, I think you're the best. Who are you? And what do you want? Take me to your leader, because obviously you're the devil or his workman. I really get freaked out by people who like me. It's hard. I'm serious. I get weary because a flattering tongue works what? And it's not necessarily bad on just the part of, it's not wrong to compliment someone. Men, compliment your wives. Compliment your wife. She needs to hear that. When you come home, honey, thank you for not murdering the children today. You've done a great job. That's a good place to start. You can start there. Honey, thank you for all that you do. Ladies, compliment your husband. There's a difference between complimenting someone and flattering someone. I can compliment my wife, but flattery is speaking falsehood to get them to like me so I can abuse that relationship with them. And that's where it's wrong. There's a Joe Girardi. He is the Guinness Book of World Records best salesman in the world. Car salesman. He's in just a little over a decade, he sold over 100,000 cars. And you know what he wrote books and he did conferences and all this stuff. He's still alive today. But you know what his secret was? Everybody teaches you, if you're a salesman, get them to like you, right? Get the customer to like you. That's what they say. And so they're good at flattery. They're good at convincing people. Oh, hey, you must be an important person at work to drive such a nice car like that. And it's a, you know, Pinto. And that's flattery. It's using falsehood to deceive someone to get them to like you so that way you can abuse that relationship. But Joe Girardi, he said his secret, you want to know his secret? To find something that he liked about them and to like the customer. Because guess what? People have a tendency to like those who truly like them. So rather than trying to find a gimmick, he would just find something about the person. Oh, you were a Boy Scout? I was a Boy Scout. That's pretty awesome. And he would make himself like the other person that he's trying to sell to. And people like those who like them. There's nothing wrong with giving a compliment. That's not unethical. That's not wrong. To tell your wife, honey, you are beautiful, you're amazing, that's great. To tell your husband, honey, thank you, you're handsome, you're whatever, that's good. That's not flattery. But to tell them a lie or make them believe a lie so that you can artificially inflate your relationship, so that you can abuse that relationship that you have for your own purposes, that's flattery. Hey, boss, are you losing weight? You probably gained 40 pounds in the last month. That's flattery, and that's wrong. And you know it. You see, that's what he's talking about here. A lying tongue hates those, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Don't do that. Don't be that person. You can't keep up with the lies. Your life can't keep up, and you'll eventually lose everything. So as we end today, I want to challenge you to write down those that, or circle them, highlight them in the Bible, those that really spoke out to you, something that the Lord is telling you, you need to work on. This. Now, obviously, we all need to work on all of these, but maybe the Lord really spoke to you on one or two of these and he said, yeah, these this week. And I want to challenge you this week, every day this week, read those that the Lord spoke out to you. Write them on a piece of paper, put them in your phone, and reread those every morning and ask the Lord, Lord, help me work on these today. I'm going to purpose in my heart to not do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to purpose in my heart to work on these issues that I would be wise. And take some time this week and invest into spiritual maturity. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you that you have just opened your word to us. And through the move of the Holy Spirit, Father, you have just been so amazing to us. And we pray, Lord, that as we come before you, that you would give us today a heart of wisdom, Lord, that we would no longer be foolish or Lord, that we would no longer try to focus on ourselves, but Lord, that everything would be about you and your kingdom. So as we come before you, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us just all things, that you have allowed us, Father, to worship you and to praise you. Lord, we thank you that as we come before you, that you have given us your word to keep us from being foolish, Lord. So I pray that you'd bless each one who applies your word to their hearts this week. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one here today that seeks you out and desires spiritual maturity. So we praise you and we thank you, and as we go before you with our final song, we pray that our worship and our praises would be a sweet-smelling aroma unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.